I want to draw your attention to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through him also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. This morning, I want to share from the thought, focus your energy on Jesus. Focus your energy on Jesus. My brothers and sisters, there's so much that I believe we miss about church. As I've been reflecting, I have realized that this is the first year since I came to Mount Olivet Baptist Church as your pastor that we have not gone anywhere. Like myself, we all can recall the many places and outings we have done as a church over the past years. Our youth department have taken our youth to various places. As a church, we have gone to other churches to help them celebrate special days. However, what I thought of most as we have been isolated in our homes are the Sunday school trips. We have gone up to Lancaster, Pennsylvania to see the amazing plays, down to the Barn Theater in North Carolina to stroll down memory lane. At times, we have driven our cars. We also have gone by church van and bus to even charter buses. We have been on ships and we've been on trains. And those that have been on vacations together have been on planes. No matter where we went, many of us would say phrases like, look at that. Check this out. Have you seen anything like that? The reason why is because we can be guilty of missing the beauty that is right in front of us. And secondly, we understand that beholding beauty can transform who we are, what we value, and how we think and live in the world. God gave us beauty in creation to point us to himself. And this is needful, but he has given us even more specific beauty to gaze at and be transformed by. We see Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we all with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. If we know Christ, we want to be transformed and increasingly conformed to the image of the Son. But we have not seen Christ with our physical eyes. We behold his glory elsewhere. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4:4, and he tells us that there is a need to see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And then he goes on in verse 6 and says, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. We see Christ in the glories of the gospel, the story of the person and work of Jesus Christ. And the Bible is full of the display of that glory from beginning to end. So we can say with Peter, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. As a result, the pathway to Christ-centered transformation is a fight to see and savor Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, spending your life's energies and capacities seeing, savoring in his word and spreading a passion for Jesus Christ will result in persevering assurance, joy, and obedience. We can go anywhere in the Bible to behold the glory of God, but I want to focus on Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, put on display examples of Christ's glory and how they apply to our lives. In verses 1 and 2, God has spoken to us in his Son. All throughout the Old Testament, God spoke through various prophets, whether they be Moses, Elijah, Isaiah, or Jeremiah. These authors spoke of many realities, but all were centered on a coming figure, a king of Israel from the line of Abraham, Judah, and David, who would definitively and decisively crush the serpent. Many promises were made in the Old Testament regarding this messianic figure, and the anticipation was palpable. Then Jesus of Nazareth came onto the scene. The New Testament offers biographical detail and commentary regarding the person and work of Jesus, the Messiah sent by God to fulfill the Old Testament prophecies and promises. What God has spoken in and about the Son is continuous with and the climax of his word uttered in earlier times. Thank God that he is there and he is not silent. He has spoken and we can know him through his word. Verse 2 reminds us that Jesus is the heir of all things. The Father has made the Son the inheritor of the universe. That's what the psalmist says. Jesus lived a perfect life and he died as a substitute and sacrifice on your behalf and mine, so that we might have our sins covered and receive God's forgiveness by faith. He rose from the grave and he ascended to the place of authority with the Father. Therefore, he has already, in essence, been put into this place of authority as the heir of all things. However, Paul writes to the church of Philippi, and he tells them and he tells us that God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, so that when he returns to set up his eternal kingdom, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus will have in subjection to him all that is. And what does it mean to listen to a person who in the end will have under his complete control and ownership of all things? All land, all water, all fire, all wind, all water, all natural resources, all nations, all military might, all bacteria and viruses, all angels, all demons, and all people. Well, it means that he can make good on all his promises. If he says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth," then he can make good on that promise, because he will own the earth and have it under his control. If he says nothing in all creation will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, then he can make good on that promise, because he will own all creation and have it under his control. If he says there shall no longer be death or mourning or crying or pain anymore, he can make good on that promise, because he will gloriously rule and reign over all things. That is a glorious reality. And then verse 2 also reminds us that Jesus made the world. God the Father created the universe through Jesus Christ. Through him all things were made. To create something from nothing is absolutely astonishing. I gotta say that again. To create something from nothing is absolutely astonishing. Because the truth is, we create things all the time. Growing up, many of us had building blocks. Then we graduated to building with Legos, or even sculpting something from Play-Doh. And if we have not done it ourselves, we know people who have built houses and built additions. And then there are those who can take a rusty bucket, broke down car, and turn it into a winner at our annual car show. But in all these examples, things are made with already existing components. However, Jesus as creator is an amazing display of his power, his wisdom, ingenuity, and grace. The triune God was not lonely or needy. Our existence should not be taken for granted, but should serve as yet another reason for humility before our great God. Verse 3 reminds us that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his nature. This is the centerpiece of the descriptions of Jesus. If you want to know the glory and the moral beauty of God the Father, read scripture and behold the person of Jesus, because he is the radiance, the streaming out of the glory of God. Therefore, Jesus can say, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. The book of Hebrews demonstrates how Jesus reveals the very persons and presence of God, because Jesus is God and one substance with the Father. Jesus is not some hippie Galilean peasant, or merely a nice teacher or a legend, or some person who had delusions of messiahship. He is God. He is the radiance of the glory of God, the manifestation of who God is. We do not just appreciate or say nice things about Jesus. We bow down and we worship him. Verse 3, the first part reminds us that Jesus upholds all things by the word of his power. Jesus is creator and sustainer. In him we live and we move and we have our being. Those of you who have children, think when you brought your child home for the first time. Think about how helpless they were. They were so dependent on you for their needs. And this should remind us of how Christ sustains us. So every day, Jesus is infinitely powerful. He is speaking all the Milky Way and all the other galaxies into being, as well as all the molecules and all the materials of our church building. He is holding our hair and skin and lungs and tissue and fingernails and cells in being right now. And if he were to stop willing you into being, you would cease to be. Let me rewind and say that again. If God were to stop willing you and I into being, you and I would cease to be. That is how dependent you are on this person. And one of the biggest ways we can acknowledge this is prayer. And in the second part of verse 3, Jesus made purification for sins and sat down in majesty. This phrase points out that Jesus says atoning sacrifice was not insufficient. It accomplished all he set out to do. Salvation was purchased for us as sinners by his work. A perfect lamb was sacrificed on the cross. The wrath of God was poured out on Christ. He who knew no sin became sin so that by faith in Christ as Lord, Savior, and treasure, we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm grateful this morning for my faith foundation that was laid by my mother. I have said on many occasions, I watched my mother go to church. I watched my mother go to Sunday school. I watched my mother pray and sing and worship God. However, through time and experience, I have seen the glory of Christ in the gospel and thoroughly rejoicing in it, loving him for who he is and all that he has done for me. I say all that to say this simply, you got to know Jesus for yourself. The seating is a coronation. He is the King of the universe. He is at the right hand of God the Father, and he reigns over all government. He reigns over the devil. He reigns over weather. He reigns over heart attacks and cancer and diabetes and high blood pressure and Parkinson's and this coronavirus. And the Bible states all manners of disease. He reigns today, and he will someday set all things right. Pray for God to open the eyes of your heart to see this reality and love him. And we trust him through good and bad. And then verse 4, Jesus is superior to the angels. Angels often appear as impressive figures in the Bible before whom people tremble. But the remainder of chapter 1 demonstrates Jesus's superiority. Verse 5 says he is God's son. Verse 6 says he is worthy of the worship of the angels. And then verses 8 through 13, the Father has anointed him for an everlasting kingdom. I close by simply saying, all of this is true. Therefore, we must look, we must focus our energies on Jesus. Hebrews 2:1 says we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard about Jesus. Hebrews 3:1 says, consider Jesus an ongoing activity. And in Hebrews 12:1-3 tells us to look to Jesus and again to consider him. These commands are like saying, listen to your favorite song again. Watch your favorite movie again. Or your favorite sitcom again. Consider them. Think about them, enjoy them. It is not a difficult command. Jesus is infinitely better than any song. He's better than any movie. He's better than any sitcom you can name. The call is to continually and constantly look to him, to pay close attention to him, and to consider him. And we do this primarily by being in his word. Luke, the gospel writer, tells us the whole Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, is about Jesus. We must be a Psalm 1 people who delight in his word and meditate on it day and night. But we do not do it merely out of duty. We look for the glory to delight in God. Pray to see the glory of Christ in his word. Behold Christ to be transformed. And let that sight of glory lead you into further prayer, further confession, further praise, and further living in a way that is continually and progressively conforming to the image of the Son. We have to examine ourselves for and look back over these past 11 months and ask ourselves, have we continually and progressively been growing in our relationship with Jesus? Beholding the glory of Christ progressively frees you and I from the bondage of sin for the sacrifices of love. Whether you struggle with impatience, pride, misplaced shame, anxiety, lust, covetousness, bitterness, or despondency, the answer is continually looking to Jesus and focusing all your energies on him and living by faith in his accomplished work. This also provides assurance and joy. We must recognize our desperate need for Christ each and every day. Recognize that the Spirit dwells in us. Live out our identity as members of the new covenant with new hearts empowered to love and obey God and trust in the irrevocable promises of God in Scripture, all in community. Faith in God and his grace in the gospel embraced in this kind of way will progressively renew your mind, free you from the clutches of sin, help you to put on right character. Love God with all your heart. Love God with all your soul. And love God with all your mind and strength. Love your neighbor as you love yourself, and be a catalyst in the lives of others to see Christ and savor him. My brothers and sisters, spend your life's energies and capacities seeing, savoring, and spreading a passion for Jesus Christ will result in persevering assurance, joy, and obedience. Focus your energy on Jesus Christ. The message of God for the people of God. Maybe you're on this call this morning, do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. I want to extend that invitation through you, through the power of prayer, and ask that you would pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord, I acknowledge that you, Jesus, are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross, that your blood was shed for my sins, and that you arose from the grave and conquered death. I understand that I was born a sinner and that I have sinned by disobeying your commandments. I ask you to forgive me for these sins. Please change my heart to be like yours, loving and full of forgiveness. Help me to obey your teachings as recorded in the Bible. Bring people into my life who can help me on this new path. Be my Savior, be my Lord. Thank you for saving me from death and giving me new life. Amen. If you believe this prayer that you have just prayed by faith, you are saved. If you have any further questions about your salvation or your walk with Christ, please feel free to contact myself or any of our deacons or any of our church members, because we want to see you grow.